Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Who's ready for the word of God? Mark chapter 8 verse 13, it says, "And he, being Jesus, left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it," just a bit of a side note, if you ever have like a little side conversation that you don't think Jesus is hearing, he's hearing stuff. You know, that little whinge that you have with all your mates about how, you know, come on, Jesus hears everything. "But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" Say, "Remember. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, we took up 12. How many of you know it's so easy for us to forget what God has done for us? Hello. How many of you know it's so easy for us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to forget what God did for us at conference last weekend? It's so easy for us to forget. Here, the disciples completely forgot that Jesus had given them the breakthrough just a few days ago. It's easy for us to recall the trauma that we had from our childhood. It's easy for us to, some of us recall like 20 years ago what someone said to us that hurt us. We remember an offense from like 35 years ago sometimes, but we forget like next minute the miracle of God in our lives. And it says here in Mark chapter 8, verse 20, "Also Jesus said, 'When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?' They said, 'Okay, Jesus, we get your point. 7. So he said to them, 'How is it that you do not understand?' Then he came to Bethsaida, fully knowing that they don't understand. He came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand." Say, "Took the blind man by the hand." "And led him out of the town." Say, "Led him out of the town." "And when he had spit on his eyes," say, "spit on his eyes, and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, 'I see men like trees walking.' Then he put his hands on his eyes again." Say, "He put his hands on his eyes again. And made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly." Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? So good. Grab your seat. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Do you see men like trees walking?" Turn to the other neighbor and say, "I see men like trees walking." This is an incredible account here in the book of Mark chapter 8. Jesus says to the disciples, "Come on, let's get into the boat." I just get a little bit nervous whenever I see the word boat in the New Testament, in the Gospels, because I just know that some drama is about to happen. The disciples in the boat, something's about to happen. Like, it's like a movie in the making. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're about to learn some kind of lesson. Jesus is about to slap them upside the head with some life learning lesson. And here are these disciples, and they're in the boat, and they're squabbling over the fact that they didn't bring enough food on the boat. They only had one loaf between 12 guys. So, you know, they start to get all antsy and nervous. How many of you know that sometimes, even with Jesus in our world, we get caught up in things that really doesn't bother Jesus, right? And then Jesus begins to rebuke him. He begins to correct him. And he says to them, do you not remember just a few days ago where bread and fish was actually multiplied in your hands? You fed 5,000 out of your own hands. How many baskets did you take up? Oh, we took up 12. And then a few days after that, you fed like 4,000. How many baskets did you take up? Oh, we took up 7. So easy for us to forget what God has done for us. I believe that he's actually reviving the memories of the goodness of God in the church. That's why we sing songs like, "All my life you have been faithful." The reason for that is because it's important for us as believers to bring to our recollection and our memory what God has done for us. Whatever God did for you at conference, you remember it next week. You remember it next month. You remember it next year. Come on, are you out there? Remembering is the key to strengthening your faith when you need a breakthrough. I don't know what you're going to be going through in November. I don't know what you're going to be going through in January next year. I don't know what you're going to be going through in 6, 9, 12 months from now. But this is what I want to encourage you with. Remember the God who has been faithful to you. Remember the God who's come through for you in seasons gone by. this whole conversation is very common in the Bible. We see even in the Old Testament, so much of the Israelites' problem was the fact that they kept forgetting all the good things that God had done, and they kept bringing up all the things that they thought God hadn't done for them. Here were these Israelites, 400 years of slavery. God had delivered them completely out of the hand of Pharaoh, right? Next minute, they're complaining in the wilderness. Little wonder the book of Deuteronomy, which is this collection of sermons or parting speeches of Moses before he handed his leadership across to Joshua. Most of his speeches started like this: do not forget the Lord your God who such and such and such did this and that. Come on, are you out there? Do not forget the Lord your God who delivered you out of the hand of Pharaoh. Do not forget. Why is it? Because it's so easy for us to forget what God has done. If you want to stand firm in your breakthrough, remember what God has done. Remember, bring to your recollection what God has done. These disciples stressed out in the boat because they didn't bring enough lunch. Well, only a few days ago, they fed 5,000 and they fed 4,000. Bread and fish multiplied out of their own hand. Jesus said, do you still not get it? If there was ever a facepalm moment, and there was many for Jesus, right here would have been a facepalm moment. For Jesus, in the boat, and these guys are squabbling over one piece of bread when they've just fed 5,000 and 4,000 just a few days ago. My exhortation to you tonight is that whenever you run into a process where God is still at work, where you haven't seen the breakthrough yet, just remember the times where he has come through for you. Bring to your recollection the times when he has been faithful to you. Come on out there. Bring to recollection. That's why I love the power of testimony. I love hearing testimonies. I love testimony because it brings to my recollection that if God can do it for you, he can do it for me. Come on, are you out there? If God can do it for Matt Hennigan, he can do it for me. If God can do it for Richard, he can do it for me. If God can do it for me, he can do it for you. And it is a resounding amen. So here are these disciples, and they're just not getting it. And the encouragement that Jesus wanted to give them was that whenever there is breakthrough in your life in the days gone by, it's not a once-off. Yeah. God invites us to a life of perpetual engagement with the supernatural, perpetual engagement with the divine work of God. God is continuously at work in our lives. He's not a one-off God. It's not like a fairy godmother with a wand that just goes ding and suddenly it's all sorted. He invites you to a life of perpetual engaging with the supernatural, a perpetual engaging in faith with all that he wants to do in our lives. And so he takes them from this whole boat hoo-ha into Bethsaida, where Jesus encounters a blind man. This blind man at Bethsaida, this interaction, I believe, was used as a teaching moment for the disciples. Blind people in first century Israel, they represented, in the Bible particularly, they represented the destitute. They represented the people that had great need. Tonight, if you're here and you've got your full vision, it's important for us to connect with the story by thinking of ourselves as all being spiritually blind once outside of Christ. Hello. I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Come on, are you out there? Outside of Jesus, we're all spiritually blind. So we're all actually in need of Jesus. And this blind man from Bethsaida really represents all of us. And this blind man that engages with Jesus in this conversation gets his breakthrough. He gets his sight restored on four fronts. There are four prophetic acts that Jesus acts out here as a teaching moment for the disciples that I believe is going to be really critical for us in this coming season coming out of conference. I want to teach tonight on really in many ways how to steward what God continues to do in us. You follow me so far? I actually prepared this message about 2 weeks ago when I was actually on holidays, not really knowing what the message was for. And then, you know, in the week leading up to conference, I realized I'm going to have to preach this at conference because no one is coming to preach for me at conference. All the borders are shut. And then, you know, we managed to get some speakers together and I realized, oh, I don't need the sermon. But just this week, I really got a sense that I had written this for the week after conference for our church. That's why we streamed it across all our services tonight. And the sense that I get for us is that God really wants to teach us how to continue to steward the ongoing work of God in our lives. Because we don't want what God has done last weekend to finish at last weekend. We want it to continue with us ongoingly. Come on, are you out there? And so there were four prophetic acts, if you like, that Jesus did for this man, this blind man from Bethsaida. Firstly, Jesus took this blind man by the hand. Secondly, Jesus led him out of the city. Thirdly, Jesus spits in his eyes. And fourth, Jesus touches his life again. These four prophetic acts, as I began to read this passage of scripture in Mark chapter 8 and begin to meditate on it, the Lord began to ask me four questions that this man answered really affirmatively. But the four questions, even for my own life, that are really challenging in many ways, really gets me thinking about how I steward the ongoing work of God in my life. And so the first question I want to ask you tonight is this: will you let Jesus take you by the hand? Will you let Jesus take you by the hand? Jesus comes and takes this blind man by the hand. This prophetic act speaks into our surrender. How many of you know that it feels strange for a blind man to suddenly let a random stranger grab his hand? Come on, are you out there? It'll feel strange if you're blind. You can't see this random stranger called Jesus comes and grabs you by the hand. It speaks of surrender. See, surrender, it's all inclusive of trust and all of these sorts of things. We're taught to be independent. We're taught to figure life out ourselves. We're taught to try and do things on our own. We like to be well-educated, well-researched. We want all the details before we let anyone take us by the hand. Come on. If I was this blind guy, I would be giving Jesus an interview. Who are you? Who are you? What is your intention with me by taking my hand? Come on. What is your background? You're just a carpenter from Galilee? What's your resume? Hello. How many of you like that with God? You want to know details first before you surrender to Him. Hello. But this is what my sense is as we steward. But the ongoing work of God is this, that surrender always precedes the breakthrough. Your breakthrough is at the other end of your surrender. Hello, not before it. So many of us want Jesus to bring a breakthrough before we surrender. Jesus, I want you to do something in my life first before I give you my hand to hold. But Jesus is saying, no, I want you to let me hold your hand first. I want you to trust me. I want you to surrender. You might not have any details. You might not know where we're going. Come on, are you out there? But I want you to put your hand in mine first because your breakthrough is at the other end of your surrender. If there's anything that I want to encourage you with tonight is this, let Jesus, revive your surrender. A week out from conference, let Jesus revive your surrender. The second prophetic act that Jesus did for this blind man from Bethsaida was to lead him out of the town. I want to preach into this. Jesus leads this blind man from Bethsaida out of the town. Whilst taking his hand speaks to surrender, when Jesus leads this blind man from Bethsaida out of the town, it really speaks to obedience. He says to this blind man, I'm taking you by the hand, but now I want you to leave this town where you've been to come to the outskirts of the town. In other words, Jesus is saying, I want you to obey. I want you to follow me. Be obedient with me. And without really knowing why. See, this man would have been blind and comfortable in his patch in the city. His blindness would have caused him to have this little familiar place in the town where he would have begged for money. Everyone would have known this is the blind man from Bethsaida in that street corner. And every time we pass him, we throw a coin. It was everything that he knew that was comfortable. And yet Jesus said, I want to lead you out of where you're comfortable to a place where you're uncomfortable. And this is why so many of us aren't obedient to God, because God often asks us to do things that we don't want to do. He rarely asks us to do things we want to do. Yeah. How many of you know that the things that we want to do are very different to the things God wants us to do? Yeah. If they were the same things, we'd all be obedient. Yeah. But the fact that we're disobedient a lot is because the things that we want to do, God, is not the same as the things you want me to do. And yet we will always say, Jesus, you bring me the breakthrough first before I obey you. You touch my life first before I walk with you and go with you out of the town. Because this is, so maybe the breakthrough has been tarrying for your life because you've been reluctant to obey. He's asking you to do things that you don't want to do. He's asking you to give up things that you don't want to give up. He's asking you to make lifestyle changes you're not willing to give to make. And we're here wondering, Jesus, can you touch me? Touch me one more time and say, well, I need you to start walking out of the town first with me. So many of us want the breakthrough before, come on. We want the breakthrough before the obedience, but your obedience always precedes your breakthrough. Maybe he's saying to you, you know that group of friends that you got? I actually want you to remove yourself from them from time to time. Come on. You know that habit that you've got that you know that if I've set you up to walk away from it, but you want to hold on to it. That dysfunction that's so familiar to you in that street. Come on, I'm speaking to a church. I want you to walk with me out of that. And so for so many of us, we struggle in the space of obedience because we want God to come through for us first before we're obedient to Him. But I want to say this to you, obedience precedes the breakthrough. Let the Lord revive you in your obedience. Don't fight Him when He wants to lead you out of where you're comfortable into where you're really uncomfortable. Because where He wants to take you at times, where He's asking you to go, is not often going to be the place where you want to go yourself. You guys are getting real quiet. But let the Lord revive your obedience. The third prophetic act after Jesus takes Him by the hand, which speaks to surrender, and Jesus leads Him out of the town, which speaks to His obedience. Jesus then, when they're at the edge of town, turns to the blind man and does this. Spits in his eye. Both his eyes, actually. How gross. Now, I actually read into some of the commentaries around spit in first century Israel, and there's lots of different ways of looking at it, but this I know is that when the Roman soldiers wanted to humiliate Jesus, they spat in His face. So whatever it is that Jesus' intention was, the question for you is this. Will you let Him spit in your eyes? The whole thing of Jesus spitting in His eyes speaks to vulnerability. Because if nobody knew on the outskirts of town that this man was blind, they certainly knew now. Yeah. Come on. This man has got spit dripping from his eyes. Everyone now knows. See, Jesus is not looking to expose you. He's looking for your vulnerability. He's not looking to humiliate you. He's looking for a heart that says, Jesus, I'm prepared to be vulnerable. So many of us don't want to be vulnerable, and yet we're expecting God to come through for us. I'm a little bit like this. I used to always say, I don't want people to know what's going on in my life because I'm a very private person. I'm actually a very private person. How do you say that? I'm a very private person. People, you know, I don't really want people knowing my stuff that's going on. I'm on a journey. This was just me and Jesus. It's just between me and Jesus what's going on. I'm a very private person. I wasn't being private. I was being proud. It's not a privacy issue. It's a pride issue. If I were to be really honest, it wasn't privacy that I wanted. It was my pride that I was holding on to. And Jesus is saying, I want you, blind man from Bethsaida, to engage with me in the ongoing work by allowing me to spit in your eyes. Here's the thing with vulnerability. For so many of us, we think that the ultimate Christian life is to portray an image that everything's going good. We got like a church face. We come to 6 p.m. Sunday sesh with like a 6 p.m. Sunday sesh face. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, God, it's all cool. It's awesome. It's fantastic. I'll tell you what, I don't want to be part of a church community that's all slick and produced and all pretty on the outside and looks like a really well-manicured Instagram account. I want to be part of a community that's got spit in their eyes, that's vulnerable, saying, Jesus, I'm not doing so well right now, but could you come and touch my life? Yeah, I want to be part of a church community that's maybe looks a little bit messy, but it's vulnerable. That maybe looks a little bit unclean, but hey, it's real and authentic. Maybe it doesn't look very polished, but I tell you what, it's raw. There's something really beautiful about a vulnerable community. Let God revive your vulnerability, because your vulnerability precedes your breakthrough. Jesus doesn't come through for you first and then makes you vulnerable. He asks for your vulnerability first. Will you let me spit in your eye? Are you willing to get a little bit down and dirty? Are you willing to just be really raw with where you're at? You don't want to get... See, if you're a Connect leader here, the worst thing you want is to find out like a year later that someone in your Connect's been struggling all along in their faith. It's like, you could have told me, and I could have journeyed with you and prayed with you. I was here this whole time. I've been a pastor for a really long time, and there's been many, many seasons in my life where I've looked at, you've been struggling in your marriage for like 2 years and nobody knew. We could have helped you right back here before it got to there. You've been struggling with that addiction for like the last 3 years. We could have helped you back here, and now we're finding out there. The reason for it, I'm a very private person, rubbish. You're just proud. Stop being so proud and be vulnerable, because Jesus wants your vulnerability, and your vulnerability precedes your breakthrough. Do I get a resounding amen? I'm preaching my heart out here. Come on. We have this whole thing of, oh, I'm right, thanks. You know, nothing to see here. There is a reason why in Mark chapter 3, Jesus asked the man with the withered hand, he says, stretch out your hand. He wasn't asking for his good hand. He was asking for his gnarly withered one. Come on. Think about the woman, 12 years, a condition of perpetual bleeding. It was, in that day and age, a shameful condition. She had to push through all the crowds of her vulnerability. Imagine how exposed and vulnerable everyone would have seen that she was bleeding. And yet she pushed through the crowds of her own vulnerability to touch the hem of his garment. I believe that power left Jesus and went into her body, not just because of her faith, but because of her vulnerability. Come on, are you out there? Because of one, and that power just knew where to go in her body and touched the and gave her the breakthrough. See, your vulnerability precedes your breakthrough. I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to let Jesus spit in your eyes? Because it's time to get vulnerable. It's time to get vulnerable. So what? If God touched your life at conference, it's time to begin a life of vulnerability. Maybe you're continuing to journey with God about a breakthrough that you're contending with. It still hasn't happened yet. It still hasn't fully happened yet for you. Get vulnerable. Get vulnerable. Get raw with God. Be responsive in your heart, because he won't deal with what you won't reveal. He won't deal with what you won't reveal. Your vulnerability will open the door to breakthrough, whereas your pride will shut it. Your vulnerability will cause you to draw near to Jesus, but your pride will withdraw you. You can say all you want, I'm a very private person, I don't want anyone to know, but he won't deal with what you won't reveal. Let me spit in your eyes. Let me spit in your eyes. Maybe you got something that you're carrying and you've been carrying it for years. But you've always thought, I can't share with anyone that. I need healing, but I can't share with anyone. He can't heal what you want to conceal. Don't play the games of hiding. Don't play the games of hiding. And maybe you've come from a culture where maybe in your family or the previous church that you're in, it shamed you for being vulnerable. I want to tell you that Nation Church is not like that. I want to be part of a community that's just vulnerable and raw and real. We normalize what it is. We all have stuff. Come on. We all have stuff that we're carrying. We're all going through stuff. But how about you just get real with stuff? I just get real with stuff. We can help each other journey along the way and allow Jesus. It might look like we got spit dripping down our eyes. So what? My breakthrough is coming. Come on, are you out there? My breakthrough is coming. In many ways, I can understand why. You know, when Jesus wanted to teach vulnerability to his disciples, he actually said to his disciples in a room, he said, come on, boys. I know we're eating together, but I'm going to bring the washcloth and the basin. I want to wash your feet. You know, it's incredibly exposing for someone to wash your feet. And the first guy to pop up and go, no, stop, don't touch my feet, was Peter. In many ways, I really relate to Peter. I do not like anyone touching my feet. How many of you really love foot massages? It's like, that's just like, oh, it's awesome. You just. Two hands up. I see two hands over there. Anyone over there? I see your hand. I'll pray for you. What is wrong with you people? Why do you like people touching your feet? That is just weird. For me, nobody touches my feet. Chrissy and I have been married for almost 21 years. She can count with two fingers how many times I've let her touch my feet. And in those two instances, I must have been like unconscious or something in my sleep, because nobody touches my feet. On many counts, but like the first reason is because I'm particularly ticklish at my feet. Like I'm like really ticklish. I'm like really ticklish. I'm just a ticklish person generally, but my feet are like next level ticklish. You know what I'm saying? Like if you look at my feet, like I'll start to feel ticklish. Like, oh, stop. Just don't stop. Just don't look at my feet. I just feel ticklish. But the other part is because I think I've always felt that my feet are actually the ugliest part of my body. I've got a lot of ugly parts of my body. Trust me, I do. But my feet are like next level ugly. I have the hair growing in places that hair should never grow in. You know what I'm saying? Like I've got nails and like I have hobbit feet, and I don't want anyone to touch my feet. Just leave it alone. It's like not a good part of my body. Peter, being a fisherman, would have had the ugliest feet in the room. And that's why he said, Jesus, just don't touch my feet. To which Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, if you don't let me do this, we can't do this. Because the Peter that I'm raising to birth the early church in Jerusalem, the Peter that I'm raising that will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that will stand in the market square and 3,000 people will get saved that day. The Peter that I'm raising that will write epistles that will be included in the canon of Scripture. The Peter that I'm raising that will bring revival after I'm gone is the Peter that first has got to learn that vulnerability precedes the breakthrough. Come on, are you out there? Your vulnerability precedes the breakthrough. So Jesus plays this whole thing out for his disciples. He takes this blind man at Bethsaida by the hand, which speaks to surrender. And then he leads him out of the city, which speaks to obedience. And then he spits in his eyes, which speaks to vulnerability. And then he says, bro, can you check it out? Test it out. What do you see? After he spits in his eyes, said, bro, check it out. To which this blind man said, I see men like trees, but they're walking around. What a strange thing to say. Like I can see, but I can't really see. Like I can see men like trees walking, but I see Thai. I think it's Thai. Maybe it's a coconut tree. I don't know, but it's walking around. I see Richard. It looks like a rose bush. Well, it's walking around. I see men like trees walking. Can I preach into this? If you've ever been in a season in your life where God has given you a glimpse of what could be, but you're not there yet, where he's given you a partial breakthrough, but the full breakthrough hasn't come yet, where he's done something in your life, but has not finished it yet, where he's... you've seen improvements in your health because people have been praying for you, but you haven't received your full healing. Where you've walked a long way in being whole, but you know that you're still carrying stuff. See, the I see men like trees walking season for believers is a critical juncture for so many of us. It's in this season where this man had some choices to make. There were three choices, I believe, that was this man, this blind man from Bethsaida was faced with. Here he was. He'd already allowed Jesus to take him by the hand, which speaks to his surrender. He'd already allowed Jesus to lead him out of the city, which speaks to obedience. He already allowed Jesus to spit in his eyes, which speaks to his vulnerability. But here he is standing there and he's like, I see men like trees walking. It is in the season of you seeing men like trees walking where potentially the first option you could choose is to settle for the partial breakthrough. Just be contented that some is better than nothing, Pastor. That it might not be what I had hoped for, but I might settle for it. Getting real quiet. This was not who I thought I'd end up with, but I'm with them now, and it's better than being lonely. Getting real quiet now. This healing that I've got, it's not full healing, but at least I'm managing the pain. That this brokenness that I had inside of me, at least I'm not affected by the trauma daily anymore, but maybe I could just settle for just a low-grade sense of offense. Wow, and so we settle for the partial breakthrough. We're okay with seeing men like trees walking. And okay, all right, Jesus, you take me by the hand. I'll be led out of the city. You spit in my eyes. And now I see men like trees walking. Maybe that's it for now. Thank you, Jesus, very much. We'll see you later. You've settled for the partial. I want to say this to you tonight. If you see men like trees walking, don't you dare settle for the partial, because Jesus is still right there with you. Jesus didn't wave you goodbye. Don't you wave him goodbye. The second option that he could have taken was actually to resent the partial. Have you ever been angry at God that he's only done a little bit of the work, but not all of it? That he's still, it's like, Jesus, I'm so sick of being a work in progress. How many of you ever say that? Yeah. Oh yeah, I say that all the time. Like, Jesus, you know, I've got spit in my eyes, and why am I only seeing men like trees walking? Because I heard of the other dude in John chapter 9 where you on the ground, made a bit of mud, stuck it in his eye, bang! He was healed completely. What is it with me? Like, God, like, is there something up with me that I only have a partial healing? We start to become the victim. We start to think there's something wrong with us. And then we start to say things like, oh, it's always, you know, like that other girl, she always gets all the blessing. It's like, and then that other person who's got this very similar kind of sickness to me, they got like a full healing and they're on the screen testifying. I'm still in pain. Right? We start to resent the pastor because I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like, Jesus, it would have been better for you to leave me blind. Because how do you explain the partial healing? How do you explain, I see men like trees walking. At least if I was fully blind and you never come to touch me, Jesus, I'd still be begging. People would have full pity on me. But how do I explain I see men like trees walking? This is before OPSM and Specsavers. I don't know how to get by with just half a healing. What do I do with that? That is very awkward. It's a critical juncture. We can start resenting Jesus and feel like he's done with us. That is all that Jesus has for us. And we start to think all of these toxic thoughts about who he is. We start to frame the way that our theology around our partial healing. Oh, that's I'm preaching now. We start to create false theologies and systems of beliefs about Jesus that should have never been there. I see men like trees walking. It's awkward. How do you explain that? This is not who I thought I'd end up with, but we're together now. It's like, what do you do with that? Like, do I celebrate with you? Do I still keep praying that you find? I don't know. How do you explain a partial healing? Do I celebrate with you or do I keep praying? I don't know. How do you explain it? But yet, this blind man from Bethsaida made the best possible choice out of the three. Instead of settling for the partial, or instead of resenting the partial, he simply said, Jesus, touch me again. Jesus, I yield to you again. Jesus, I want to encounter you again. That word again is such an important word in our Christian vernacular that we have to get right. The fourth question the Holy Spirit wants to ask you is, will you let him touch your life again? If you're in an I see men like trees walking season, will you let him touch your life again? Mark 8 verse 25 says, then he put his hands on his eyes again. I feel God light up that word again. Some of you think that God is just a once off. There is no such thing as again. Only the salvation and the salvific work of Jesus is a once and for all. But ongoingly from there, as you journey with Jesus, it's a life of again. It's a life of encountering again. It's a life of going to your knees again. It's a life of going to the foot of the cross again. It's a life of opening up your heart again. It's a life of surrendering again. It's a life of obedience again. It's a life of vulnerability again. Let Jesus be your Lord and Savior all the days of your life, not just one day in your life. Letting him touch you again speaks to persistence. Persistence precedes the breakthrough. Some of us quit too early. Some of us make up our own belief system about Jesus because we just prayed about it once. Some of us make our own minds up and our own theologies about Jesus because it's like we just went to him the once. Maybe he's raising a church that isn't just surrendered, that isn't just obedient, that isn't just vulnerable, but also persistent. Yeah. That we're willing to come back again and again and not despise the againness of our Christian walk. Saying that, Jesus, the cross is available to me, but I come to you again. Jesus, I may see men like trees walking in my relational world. I may see men like trees walking in my finances. I may see men like trees walking in my career right now. I may see men like trees walking in the promises of God and what you've called me to. I may see men like trees walking in my family life, but I'm coming to you again. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Musicians, you can join me. You guys getting something out of this? Here's what I want to say to you as we steward the ongoing work of God. Maybe you're in a place of I see men like trees walking. You need to know that the same Jesus that took you by the hand is the same Jesus that led you out of the city. It's the same Jesus that spat in your eye. And it's the same Jesus that is saying, I want you to allow me to touch your life again. Allow me to touch your life again next week. Allow me to touch your life again tomorrow. Allow me to touch your life again next year. Allow me to touch your life again. I want a life from you of perpetual engagement in faith with me. Can we give Jesus another big shout of praise? Come on, would you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.